Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Now, message in from our good friend Michael Ryan in Templemore. Michael says, good morning, Fran. Today is International Stammering Awareness Day, and just to say a big thank you to everyone that has contacted me with best wishes on our Stuttering Awareness and Mental Wellbeing campaign, which I'm humbled to be part of. We've met lots of people this week on our mission. So thanks again, says Michael in Templemore today. Seamus was on. He feels that the churches should be demanding COVID certs to go to Mass. He doesn't understand why people who are often vulnerable are thrown to the wolves in the church. If you need a COVID cert to go to a restaurant or a concert, why aren't churches demanding them? It makes absolutely no sense. Well, I put that point to Father Michael Toomey on the programme during the week, and he said that he would not put himself in the position of having to deny anybody access to church ceremonies, because of course there are legitimate reasons why people wouldn't have a vaccination, and he just feels that it wouldn't be for him to do that, and for the clergy in general. Now, from November 7th, assisted dying will be legal in New Zealand following a referendum there last year. The new law will apply to people with less than 6 months to live. Now, closer to home, Spanish legislators voted in March to allow doctor-assisted suicide and euthanasia for long-term patients with terminal illnesses and for people with unbearable permanent conditions. Now, the law comes into force, came into force indeed in June, making Spain the sixth country to legalize euthanasia. The others are Belgium, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Canada, and Colombia. Now, the chances of Ireland being added to that list are unclear, as the campaign for the legalization of assisted dying suffered a significant setback during the summer. Our own Andrew Luby joins me in studio. Andrew, good morning to you.
Morning, Fran.
You chat to us generally on Friday, and you chose this topic today. Is this something you feel very strongly about?
Maybe. And then I think I was saying to you today that I was actually thinking of backing away from it, because like it's a heavy conversation. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned New Zealand, because I have great admiration for Jacinta Ardern.
She's terrific.
She's a terrific woman, and it's interesting there that it's coming in. Now, it's like it's in a lot of countries, but there's different protections around it, so it's not the same every place. But it's currently illegal here, as people will obviously know. And in October 2020, the Dáil voted to pass the Dying with a Dignity Bill 2020. The proposed legislation would permit assisted dying in limited circumstances, allowing medical professions to enable some sort of terminally ill patients to end their own lives. But I know you and I feel a little bit different about this, because we were chatting about it during the week, weren't we?
Mm.
And assisted dying, it's unlikely to be facilitated. That's according to the Irish Hospice Foundation. I was looking it up just during the week there. But here's the interesting thing too. There was a poll in the Sunday Times here, and apparently 2 out of 3 voters in Ireland are in favour of legalising it in certain cases. You were surprised by that, weren't you?
I was very surprised by that. I was. Because, as you know, my issue with it is something that can't be legislated for, which is that would somebody feel under pressure, if they feel themselves to be a burden to their family, would they take this opportunity just to sort of release their family from those obligations? That would be my big fear.
Know,
now, you're probably
going
to say to me that there will be protections around this to make sure that...
Not really, because I know what you're saying. There can't be protections around that, because if somebody
very
is
difficult.
Doing... Yeah, but if somebody is doing it for that reason, and that would be the worry. That would be the worry. Now, unless they can maybe look at, cases separately, and they will look at all cases separately if it ever happens here. But sure, look, the obvious flip side of that is that who are we to tell somebody that they can't go through with this if they're suffering?
Of course. And the opposing argument, again, from people who are anti this would say that, look, palliative care is to such a point in this country that there should be no need for painful deaths or difficult deaths or that sort of thing. Does that hold any...
I don't even know if it's about pain, because, pain can be managed. Certainly the people that work in the hospices are just fantastic, as we all know. And I think they can probably manage pain very well these days, whereas, a few decades ago, maybe not so much. But it's just those people I don't want to kind of just mention about different cases, but, you take... You take motor neurons disease, which is one that seems to come up quite a bit. And I don't even think it's the pain situation. It's just this body that people are trapped in, and it's a horrible journey from, especially at the end and all that. And I'm interested in what people think about it. I mean, just if people want to give us a quick text while we're on.
083-311-3311. We'd love to get your reaction to this.
You know, there's a religious slant to it too.
Yeah, talk to us a bit about that.
Well, because I think most of the hospices in Ireland were founded by religious bodies, and they sort of retain their Catholic ethos a little bit. And I'm just wondering, is there a pressure there for the hospices? I'm not saying there is, because I don't know. Mm. I mean, unless that there is, and there's a relationship there with the religious in the country. But look, it's a changing country. It's a changing country. Many countries have it already. We'd be joining people like, well, New Zealand, as you mentioned.
Colombia is there.
I had a few written down.
Yeah.
Dignitas is the well-known group, the Swiss non-profit group, and they provide assisted suicide to those who suffer from terminal illness or severe physical or mental illness too. They're supported by qualified Swiss doctors, and by the end of 2020 they had assisted 3,248 people die, which is an amazing figure, isn't it?
Wow, isn't it just? You have some audio for us as well. Do you want to talk to us about this?
Now look, it's a heavy conversation, and it might be upsetting for some people, and even this audio might be a bit upsetting for people, because I found this difficult to listen to when I was editing it down. So we have some audio for some people that took that journey to Dignitas, at least one anyway, starting with the American, a guy called Craig Edwards.
I am dying. There is no sense in trying to deny that fact. Nor my conviction that the end of my long journey through life is rather close.
On the day of his scheduled suicide, Craig Ewert arrives at an apartment building in Zurich, Switzerland. Mary, his wife of 37 years, is at his side. Ewert, a 59-year-old American, was diagnosed with ALS, or motor neuron disease, 5 months earlier. If he carries through with his plan, Craig Ewert's body will leave this building in a hearse.
I'm not really asking myself if I want to do it or not. I do want to do it.
He begins the process that will lead within hours to his death.
I explain now to you the procedure.
Okay.
First, I give you a drink, support your stomach, some drops, and this we use for strengthen your stomach. And when you drink that, we have time. You can wait half an hour.
Okay.
About, then you can take the last medicament. I have another question, Mr. Ewert. When you drink the last medicament, I usually make a video. Okay. Just of the act of drinking. So does the Swiss officials, that I can see that you have drunk it yourself and nobody helped you. If you have no objection.
Yes, sir, it's not my intent to cause difficulties for anyone. You are helping me.
You decide, huh? And you decide when it is time that you want to drink.
Okay.
It's up to you. So it doesn't matter if you drink the first drink or if you want to wait.
I might as well.
You take it now, huh? Okay, I can't prepare it.
Okay.
Very good, huh?
It's not too bad, but I sure would. I won't rank it high on my fingers.
You prefer the apple juice, huh?
So I guess I'm ready for the medicine.
Shall I prepare the medicament, huh?
Okay, can I give you a big kiss?
Of course.
Okay, I love you.
I love you, sweetheart. So much.
Okay. I have a safe journey. We'll see you sometime.
If you drink this, you're going to die.
Yes. Music.
Music?
Music. I wish you a good journey.
Thank you.
Safe journey. And a good sleep.
Oh, yeah. My, oh my,
His wife saying goodbye and safe journey and all that. I feel I have to apologise for that because I'm surely there's people that are listening that found that quite upsetting, as you and I did. Listening to it, but that's the reality of the journey for people that visit Dignitas in Switzerland.
You took that from a documentary. And give us the visual on that. I mean, he sounded happy almost.
Yeah, he would appear to have paralysis, I would say, from his neck down. I think they said he's only 5 months into what the Americans call Lou Gehrig's disease, which you might have heard of, the famous baseball player. We know about his motor neurons this side of the.
It had moved that quickly.
Yeah, it seems to have. And his wife and family there, incredibly supportive for him. It's a double sided sword because they are obviously grieving and very upset, but they seem equally happy for him for his decision because it's a release for him. You know what I mean? And that's what it would appear to be. He didn't want to live. He didn't want to live the way he was. He didn't see any future. There was no cure. If he had 6 months left or something, it was just going to be torture for him. So it's like, it's very difficult listening to it. It's more difficult watching it. But
Christine was onto us, Andrew, and she says, I think assisted dying should be made legal in this country. People should have control over their deaths. It should be their choice. They can leave this world on their own terms and with dignity, surrounded by their family and friends, instead of inside an ambulance or a hospital bed. We almost face our own death eventually. At least this way, we can control it and be ready. Molly figures that there should be assisted passing, as she describes it, allowed in this country for non-curable situations like that. It's only when you hear that it really comes home to you, doesn't it?
It's very dignified. And when you watch it now, it is it is very dignified.
Dignified,
that's the word I'd use.
Yes. It was interesting, the first time, and we haven't used the word, but his partner, his wife did, suicide.
Yeah.
So is that the term that's used for it in those situations, you know? Or is it assisted dying?
I'm always worried about the language.
Yes.
Because even here, they're saying assisted suicide. I'm here. Excuse me. But, I mean, suicide, like, again, we've come on from the years of how people felt about that.
Yes.
In this country. That's not a crime anymore.
Right. Catherine was on to say, how sad is that? Glorifying murder. Are we playing God? And, of course, a lot of people might believe that as well. Oh my God, says somebody else, that is so sad. Patrick was on to say, dear God, Fran, that was so hard to listen to. And we deliberately
played it
to be hard-hitting like that.
We didn't deliberately for it to be hard-hitting, but, you know, I mean, it's not to try to shock people. It's just what it is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Now, we're certainly not glorifying it. When somebody used the word glorifying there, it's a conversation that people need to have, certainly in this country. And why not let people make that decision at the end? Now, listen, you also have to say to yourself, people in this situation too, they're physically unable to take their own lives, that they need assistance. You see, that's another way of looking at it.
Yes, but when it came down to the final act there, he had to do that himself for legal reasons.
Yeah, he did. They held it and he just used a straw.
Yes.
But I'm just saying that not only has your ability to walk and move been taken from you, but your choice to end your own life has been taken from you as well. Do you know what I mean?
The story that remains with everybody, of course, is that of Mary Fleming. Yeah. Will you talk to us a bit about that as well? Just remind us about
that. Well, I think people might remember this. Mary Fleming was 59 years of age when she died on the 20th of December 2013. It was well publicised. Mary was a campaigner for assisted suicide. She lost a landmark Supreme Court challenge for her right to an assisted suicide back in 2013. A lot of people were speaking about it then, at the time. There was an incredibly powerful piece from Tom Curran, who was her partner, on The Late Late Show back in 2013. And it was a letter on behalf of his partner, Mary Fleming. And they lost the court case, of course, seeking a legal right to assisted suicide. But he came on The Late Late Show because she couldn't. She was too ill at the time, but she was still alive at the time. And this is quite powerful too.
Thank you for listening to what I have to say. This is what was missing from the court. While I feel let down by the judgment, it's more upsetting that it feels I wasn't listened to. It seems the state does not want me to die, but all the time chips away at my quality of life, one cutback after another. The latest being the mobility scheme and the carbon tax increasing heating and transport costs. Shame on Enda Kenny for what he's doing to people like me. If the people who make the decisions won't listen to me, I would ask them to come and live my life for just one day or even 1 hour and tell me how enthusiastic they would be about living. It seems they will not give me permission to die, but they will not help me to live either. On a positive note, I want to say how grateful I am to Tom. To Tom, my family and all my carers for what they do for me. They do all the things I would love to be able to do for myself, like showering, dressing, feeding, and even scratching my nose when it itches. I tolerate a lot and I don't ask much. All I ask is to be allowed to make my decision about death and to be given that help that I need to carry out my wishes. Through no fault of my own, I cannot carry out my wishes myself. I'm not asking to find someone to help me. I have that person already. All I ask is that I can carry out my wishes without getting him into trouble. Is that too much to ask?
God almighty, I remember that so well. Absolutely heartbreaking there, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Larry Fleming.
That probably was the main situation that brought this to the forefront, didn't it, that we were discussing it?
Yeah, this country, it was. And actually, it's strange. For a country that does funerals brilliantly, and we do, you know, we celebrate people's lives. It goes on for a few days, and we seem to do that very well here. And, of course, huge funerals that you wouldn't get any place else in the world. For people that do that so well, we don't seem to like to talk about death or... I mean, you might talk about wills from time to time. The amount of people that just don't want to even look at that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm one of them.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's strange that we don't have this conversation. But maybe people have turned us off this morning. Maybe people aren't ready for this conversation. Yeah, maybe they're not.
I don't know. Well, Oscar Wilde said that he got through life thinking an exception was going to be made in his case where death was concerned. So there. Catherine was on again and she says, it's a disgrace that you're discussing this. Oh. God gives life. God takes life. If this is brought in, there will be repercussions and it will be abused. We brought in murder through abortion. She's making references to that as well and says now we're doing it again. There would be very tight legislation around this. Yeah. And, of course, the big fear is where mental health is concerned and where depression is concerned. And someone might decide, look, I want to end my own life. But, of course, that won't be in any legislation to the best of my
knowledge. I hope that people can just keep religion out of it. I don't see what the religion has to do with it.
Well, for a lot of people, of course, religion would be playing a very, very big part in the discussion. And,
I don't know. You don't want to go there with me, to be honest with you. But anyway, you know how I feel about that.
Tell me exactly where you stand on this.
I'm in favour of it.
You're in favour of it?
I'm in favour of it, but with the protections.
Yes.
Those protections... they'll have to protect the kind of people that might feel that they're a burden. I completely agree with you on that. But I completely support it. Do you see, I think that people think that if this comes in, like it'll be just a free-for-all. It's certainly not going to be that. And I'm sorry if it upsets people if they have a different opinion about it. And, you know, the religion thing for me just doesn't come into it. I mean, you know, I'm not too sure what kind of a God would put that, you know, burden on that man that felt that he had to travel from America to Switzerland. But that's a conversation for another day, maybe.
Anne-Marie was on. Anne-Marie says, for anybody who has had to endure a loved one suffering a lingering death will understand the importance of assisted death in some sort of way. Give me your instinct on this. I mean, is this something that we will eventually embrace here, do you think?
No, I think so. I think so too. I think the country has moved on so much over the last like 50 years even that it's definitely going to have to be looked at here. With the abortion thing, all we did was we closed our eyes as young women left this country to go to the UK, as you know, which was
an Irish solution to an Irish problem.
And, well, an Irish solution to an Irish problem is Dignitas, because you know you can freely travel from here to Switzerland. So
and I presume Irish people are doing that.
Absolutely, of course they are. course they are. There's been many. There's been many, because when I was looking it up, there's plenty of stories of Irish people that have taken that journey. They haven't catalogued it, or they haven't, you know, had a camera crew with them and stuff like that. So, but when I was reading about it, of course there is plenty. You know what I mean? And the fear of the person that helps you. You see, it depends on the jurisdiction that you're in, because this is the thing too. I mean, you can't help people, and even in that case, in Dignitas, as you rightly said, that they have to actually. They don't administrate it. You know what I mean? You actually take it. You take it yourself willingly.
That final step you have to do from a legal point.
Yeah, but I would say, just before we finish, if anybody has a look at any of that, it's obviously quite depressing and upsetting, but if you're interested, have a little Google search you'd find on YouTube. But the one thing I'll go back to is it was so dignified. I don't know that come across in the audio as much as the visual on it, but very dignified. And you know, you'd have to feel pleased for that man, because that's what he wanted, and ultimately that's what he got.
All right, well, a lot still coming in on that, so certainly is a conversation that we'll be having again. Andrew, thanks very much indeed. That's our own Andrew Luby. Tom Nuacht, August and Olsa, Chucked.
Tip Today with Fran Curry, IMRO Radio Award Gold winner.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.